Today our call is called Why Reinvent Yourself, and it's an article that I came across. Lydia kind of found it, and she said, I think this sounds interesting, and I agreed with her. I like the concept of reinventing yourself, and we'll talk about some of that from my perspective why, but the idea here is really that's what we want to do. Otherwise, if we don't reinvent ourselves, we're going to continue to creating the same thing we've always created, right? So it's about reinventing ourselves, because for things to change around us, what needs to change? We do. Some of us sit back every year and expect to win the lottery and expect a dump truck full of gold bricks to land on our backyard, and some of us expect our husbands or our wives or our children or somebody else to win the lottery or bring millions in or totally change our life or buy us a new house. And all these things, we have all these expectations about what things could happen, possibilities. But how many of us really look and focus on ourselves? If we're going to create something different, who needs to change? We need to change, and that is self-evident. That is an absolute crystal clear concept in life. It's crystal clear in our faith. And reinventing ourselves is crystal clear in our faith, because we talk about, for those of you who are faith-based and scripture-based, if you're biblical-based, you understand the fact that when you commit your life to Christ, you go through, you were transformed, right? We're transformed. We're no longer of the world, but we're of Him. We serve the world, but we're not of the world. So there's a transformation that takes place in that whole process. So there's a reinvention of ourselves. So that concept of reinvent is scriptural. It's also, you know, something that we've talked about for years in terms of just adopting change in our life and shifting. So we're going to talk about why reinvent yourself. There's an article written by Jerry Dehino Clark about this concept, and I want people to really be clear that I'm not getting into some, you know, non-Christian approach. I'm talking about reinvention from a perspective of what are we doing with ourselves in terms of transformation, because we are constantly, you know, to be transformed from a spiritual perspective as well as other perspectives. So let's talk about how those things can be done, especially for those of us who would like to create something different in 2013. No matter how successful 2012 was for you, 2013 can be your best year yet. So what does it mean? Let's jump in and just talk about what does it mean to reinvent yourself. And this process, he talks about, and this is from Clark's article, and he talks about it, that reinvention is a process of what he kind of refers to as psychological rebirthing. In other words, we reinvent ourselves from the concept of no longer being tied to our past, we call it probability or predictability. Because you really have a choice in life. You can come and you can allow your past to control your future. You can make that choice. That just means I'm going to just continue living as I've always lived and not worry about trying to shift or reinvent because I'm just on this path. So then all of a sudden your life becomes very predictable because it's based on what your past and your present is, and that makes it very predictable. Or you can redirect your life, and you can redirect your light in your life, and you can come out new looking at new possibilities. What are greater possibilities? I want to live my life from possibilities, not probabilities or predictabilities, right? And so that's how Jerry defines it. He talks about coming from possibility instead of predictability or probability. And I do a lot of teaching and training. I could tell you in my foundation when I coach people, so much of it is based on, because so many people are so stuck. And why do we get stuck? Because we look at our life the way it is today, whether we're 30 or 40 or 50 or whatever age we are. And it's amazing to me when I work with people 20 years younger than I am, and they look at me and they say, well, this is the way life's going to be. And I look at them and I'm thinking, I'm 58 and I don't say that. How can you say it at 38 or 28? It's just overwhelming to me that somebody can think like this is just the way life is going to be, and they have all this future. I mean, you can change your life on a dime. So I spend a lot of time in my foundation working with people with drawing a new picture of their life, you know, and taking them from probability and predictability, which isn't life predictable? If you don't do anything different, I can predict your life for you. It's pretty simple. You're going to create the same results, right? If you keep doing the same thing you've always been doing, you're not going to create different results. kind of the definition of insanity. To believe that you're going to have something different happen when you keep doing the same thing isn't called insanity, right? Remember, we talk about that a lot, too. Well, so how do I get out of that? How do I shift? How do I reinvent? How do I start living from possibility instead of predictability or probability? And that's what we're going to talk about. So we want to reinvent ourselves. We want to come anew. I want to reinvent myself no matter how much I've created this year. I want to keep working on me because I work on me every day. So examples, let's talk about reinvention from a perspective of examples that Jerry kind of suggested from nature. Nature provides many examples of reinvention, and one of them that he brought up, which I love so much, and many of you know the story of the caterpillar, right? And the cocoon gives up on the old in order to give birth to the new, right? And I really call it not the cocoon, but the caterpillar is what's doing this activity. And the intriguing thing about the whole process of caterpillars, if you go study them or read this, and I came across this years ago, it was probably in a self-development seminar, where the fact that if you find a cocoon in the woods, and you know there's a caterpillar in it, and it's struggling to open the cocoon, because the caterpillar has to, when it turns into a butterfly, it has to tear open the cocoon to allow it to free itself. Well, if you go over there and you tear open the cocoon and you open it up for the butterfly will die. And the reason for that is that such a big, huge part of this reinvention, this transformation, is the fact that this butterfly must fight to break open. That's what helps build its muscles, build the body of the butterfly so it's capable of flying away. And if it doesn't go through that process, all you're doing is not helping the butterfly as you might perceive it, but you're killing the butterfly. So this idea of this whole concept of this caterpillar, the butterfly can only come to fruition if the caterpillar is willing to let go, in other words, get into the cocoon in the first place, become a cocoon in the first place, fully engage and struggle to break out of the cocoon when it's finally converted into or transformed into the butterfly. So there takes a lot of activity. So that's like if you start looking at yourself and say, what do I need to let go of? What do I need? How do I need to fully engage? And what are some of the struggles that I'm going to be dealing with? So when we look at that, that's all part of the process of transformation. So if you have your outline, I just suggest you circle those three concepts of letting go, fully engaging, and struggling, because each of us have categories, you know, in those three categories, each of us have specifics that we can fill in that apply to our lives and what we need to do to go through a reinvention of ourselves for 2013. The second example that he gave was the changing of the seasons. That's a constant reminder of how the universe feels about reinvention, right? It's obvious. Obviously, it's a natural process that's necessary in order to perpetuate our ongoing existence. We have spring reinvents itself into summer, summer reinvents itself into autumn reinvents or fall reinvents itself into winter reinvents itself into summer, and on, or spring, and on and on and on. So it continues to go that direction. So we see this natural progression of the seasons. There's always reinvention being done from season to season. And that's another concept that allows us to see the importance of reinvention. Nature also demonstrates the importance of reinvention just through the life process itself. I mean, when we look at what happens in our life process, a female's egg and a male's sperm come together to invent an embryo, and the embryo reinvents itself into a fetus, and the fetus reinvents itself into a baby, and the baby reinvents itself into an infant child. The infant child reinvents itself into a teenager. I know, we all do that. A teenager reinvents itself into an adult. The adult reinvents itself into a parent, and the parent may eventually become reinvented into a grandparent, right? And what happens to the grandparent? Well, the grandparent eventually turns back into soil or dirt we return to the ashes we are, and we have that everlasting life if a choice is made in the right direction, or that's your spirituality that you choose to be. So there's just that whole concept of constant reinvention that we go through our life. The day reinvents itself into night. Every day reinvents itself into night. And there's also one, The Legend of the Phoenix, is a tale of reinvention. Basically, upon the death, the phoenix, which is a mythical bird, would build a pyre of spices, light it up, throw itself into the fire, and then arise from the ashes as a new phoenix, ready for a new adventure. And that's just the legend that's out there as well. There's a kind of a reinvention. So what does all this mean for us if we look at this and we say, okay, Mary Jo, so this is great that we have all these examples of reinvention in nature, in natural progression. Of course, we could have written a whole 10 pages just on examples of reinvention. Well, it just means to us that reinvention is really a natural process, and it's important for each of us as humans to deliberately strive for occasional reinvention. In other words, we're not reinventing ourselves every day. Some of us take action every day to go through that reinvention process, but thank goodness we're not totally changing every day of our lives. We'd have a hard time keeping up with all the changes. Ours is more of a gradual progression, and it's taking steps that allow us to walk through that. And that's what we want to do. We want to be the best we can be. We always strive to be the best we can be. It's always in my mind of how I can be better. What can I do to be better, you know? I look at myself even from a perspective of just passing through Thanksgiving. Four beautiful days with my kids, and I looked, I said, okay, how has Mary Jo shifted from how I've been in the past and holidays? You know, just looking at the different mood and attitude and just the graciousness and the giving spirit and, you know, fun playing games and all that. I mean, we just had a blast the whole time. Everybody was joyful, lots of contribution. And somebody could say, well, how come you don't see that in your past? Well, Mary Jo, that's how we know you. And I said, well, I used to be a real competitive spirit. I used to have a hard time playing games with people. There are different things that have shifted in me that I can see a difference. But is there still more work to be done? Oh, no question. So are there things I saw in 4 days of Thanksgiving that I can look back and say, how could I have been different? Yes. And so it's like a list of more things to work on and continue to reinvent to be the best I can be, right? And so what fun is that? And I got a chance to teach Sunday school class on Sunday, which was a blessing to do that. And that was just awesome to go through, you know, all the cultural changes in our world and things. It was just fun. I just had a great time with the whole thing. So the whole process of the Thanksgiving was clearly, for us, focused on God, for us, focused on all the great things that we have to be thankful for, and then spending time, wonderful time with relatives, which is always a blessing. So we as humans need to strive for continued reinvention. How are we going to be better? What are we going to, you know, how are we shifting? And some of you are looking at yourself and saying, well, I don't even know where to start shifting. And I go, whoa, then you're in the right place, because we're going to talk about major shifting over the next few weeks. But, you know, shifting is critical. It's critically important because we really, my perspective is that we don't arrive until we land in heaven. And that means we have a long path ahead of us, a long journey, whatever that journey might, length of time it might be, not controlled by us, but by God. But we have this journey to be on to continue to grow and be the best we can be. So the idea is that we choose to, what we choose to be is what our tomorrow is for us. Instead of us sitting back and allowing our past or our present to control us, we are truly in a process that we can choose what our tomorrow looks like. You and I could sit back today and we can choose what tomorrow looks like. We can choose a difference tomorrow. And that just means we start working on self in that reinvention process. So very important for us to acknowledge that and what we can do. And then what Jerry did, he kind of drafted a little sheet, and I thought it was kind of cute, so I put it in here because it gave us some ideas about what transformation can look like. I mean, what is it? How do we reinvent ourselves? I mean, we can reinvent ourselves from poverty to prosperity. That would be a major, major move for many of us, right? And some of us go, I don't know how to do that. Yes, you do. You have the capability. Maybe you're, now think about this. When you say, I don't know how to do that, you say to yourself, that's part of where I am today, my reinvention, what I reinvent myself into becoming, the butterfly that I'm about to become, is going to know exactly how to do that, right? They're going to have all the knowledge and all the direction on how to do that. I just have to be willing to go through the reinvention process, to let go, to what? Fully engage and to even struggle to get there. But I can go from poverty to prosperity. I can go from fear to faith. Now, isn't that an interesting distinction that people make? Another one that I use a lot in my coaching and counseling of people, because a lot of people come from fear. They walk in fear. Fear triggers anxiety. It triggers a lot of negative anger. It triggers a lot of the negative emotions that we know aren't powerful and don't serve us. So the concept of fear to faith is like having trust in something greater than us. There's a trust factor out there that allows us to walk in joy instead of walking in fear. So are we shifting from fear to faith? Shifting from frustration to fascination. I like this because how many times, I don't know about you guys, but when you get something to put together and you get frustrated by it because you don't like to follow directions or whatever, yeah, instead of being fascinated by what you're about to create. So we want to be fascinated, not frustrated. We want to be what? Open to opportunities, and obstacles are just what? For some people, obstacles are major. They're the hurdle. And in Manitech, we have lots of obstacles, right? We have obstacles because we deal with people. And people themselves can create obstacles for us. But instead, I know some people that started in Manitech, and they say after like 2 weeks involved, they go, oh, my parents said no, my uncle said no, and my brother said no, and I don't think this is for me. And I go, okay, is that a choice they have to make? Absolutely. Is it their choice to be made? Absolutely. Is it mine to convince them otherwise? No. Mine is only to listen to them and to be a part of their process and say, if you really believe there's not a possibility of reinvention here, transformation here, then you can move forward and find something that fits into what you've always been and what you've always been doing and creates the same results. So that's a choice. It's a choice. So do we allow obstacles? There are other people that will say an obstacle and they go, oh, you know what? My brother and my mom said no, but I wouldn't give up on them. So I went back and I showed them this and I got them this, and Mary Jo, you and I did a three-way call, and you know what? I got them both signed up, and I want to thank you. And I go, no, I want to thank you because you took on an obstacle and made it an opportunity. So transform your obstacles into opportunities. So what is this? If you take this approach of transforming obstacles into opportunities, what are you doing? It's just, I'm going to tell you what it is. You're taking a new viewpoint. Isn't that a great thing? You're taking a new viewpoint. You're just looking at something in a different way. Instead of looking at an obstacle as a roadblock, you look at an obstacle as an opportunity. It's creating a new opportunity for you. It's kind of like the phrase I put on the outside of my pathway book. It says, the voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes. So it's a viewpoint. It's about looking at something differently. About some of you have been through Clemmer work, you know we talk about the viewpoint of shifting from victim, i.e. obstacles. I'm victim to this. This is an obstacle, so I need to figure out how to run my life with this obstacle in it, to one that's called responsible. Responsible isn't meaning you're blamed, but it means I'm able to respond. I come from a position that I have the ability to respond to this obstacle and overcome it. And celebrate a victory, right? A victory on this incredible opportunity that's been given me. So we shift from that. Survival to significance. We go from survival, that we basically are in a mode that just to survive, to stay alive, to, you know, how do I just breathe? How do I live? How do I live from day to day? Some of us on this call today are really in that situation. And I feel and I pray for you about busting through that, because it's very hard when you talk about the hierarchy of needs. When you're striving just to stay alive every day, it gets very difficult to think about in terms of going out and witnessing and making a difference in other people's lives, but because your number one focus is, how do I stay alive? How do I keep going myself? How do I go step by step just myself? And so it's about getting out of survival mode into a life of significance. I'm working on a new program right now with Patrick Dean, and we're calling it A Hero's Journey, because in each and every one of us is the hero. And it doesn't mean we're hero about one thing. We could be hero about a million things, but each and every one of us is a hero. So let's get going on that hero journey, because when you and I or anyone doesn't step up to accomplish what, you know, God's given ability is for them to accomplish and fulfill their journey, They're not only robbing from themselves, but they're robbing from you and I, because we're not getting the benefits, i.e. the greatness that this world could be, the greatness that, you know, people, other people that could be who they might have impacted if they don't show up. So we want to make sure that we're showing up in a life of significance. Chump to champ just means you can be a winner, right? Whiner to winner, that's another winner concept instead of wah, wah, wah. Every time you hear yourself, if you just shifted that, some of you look at behavioral patterns that aren't serving you, and I'll suggest, well, how many times do you go negative on a daily basis? Take a little notebook around. That's a great tool. I've used that with some people where they just take a notebook, and every time there's a negative thought, I want you to write it down. And some people, they run out of their notebook space the first day. Pretty incredible, huh? Other people, they come back at the end of the day and they go, Mary Jo, I didn't have any negative thoughts. You know, I mean, you know, my husband called and he says we don't have cash to go into out to dinner, so I just had to strive to try to make ends meet, and we'll just never probably be there. And right away they started going into all this negative stuff, and I go, whoa, what do you mean you have negative thoughts? Maybe we need to define what a negative thought is. So we talk about that. It's important that we don't redefine the world to fit within the way we want to think, but we redefine our thinking not to fit in the world, but to create the greatness that God's given us, the greatness of our beingness that God's and gifted to us and led us to be. So we want to go from misery to mastery. We don't want to be miserable. We want to have mastery. We want to go from grumpy. My husband, I call him grumpy because he can be grumpy sometimes, and being around him 4 days, I saw some of that. But anyway, he's just his disposition. He's a little more negative than I'm used to. But going from grumpy to grateful, and that's another thing, heart of gratitude. You know, this time of Thanksgiving is one of our greatest times of all to really be focused on Thanksgiving and being thankful and grateful for what we do have. And I always emphasize that this time of year. But gratefulness is, you know, one of the I think there's a 7 laws of network marketing. There's a great, or 9 laws of network marketing. There's a great book out there I read years ago, a small little, more like a pamphlet than a book. But one of the laws was the law of grateful, being great, the law of appreciation. It was like the 7 or 9 laws. You can look back at my ManaTrain website and find the outlines for that book. But one of them was the law of appreciation and the concept about how crucial it is for us to walk on this earth with this heart of gratitude. And then loser to chooser, of course, we know that. We can all be winners. And winners doesn't mean that we cross the line first, does it? You can win when you come in 10th. Yes. You can win when you come last. Yes. There are always ways of winning in everything we do. And a lot of you are already winners, and you may say, well, Mary Jo, I didn't get it to presidential. Well, what did you get to? That's a win. We're all winners, and how did you behave in the process of getting there? That's a win. So a kid who's handicapped who goes in a race and comes in, you know, last, but he finished, that's a win. He had his own physical ineptitudes that he had to grapple with in order to even finish, and what a great victory that is. So there's victory in all. So all these things, zero to hero, we talked about heroes and heroes' journeys. All of these things are transitions we need to make, and we can make a list. What I challenge you to do today or in the next week or so is start looking at where you fit in some of these, but make your own up as well. Where can you shift from one to another? And you can notice he's using alliteration in a lot of these, misery to mastery, whiner to winner, chump to champ, survival to significance, obstacles to opportunity. You know, so a lot of them have that alliteration in them. But you set yours up that work for you. How do you want to shift? But you have to stand in where you are today, and you need to say, where would I like to be? What is my direction I'm going? And then make that statement, put that statement down. What is that shift? Some of these might apply to you that I just read through already, but that's the reality of reinvention is like, let's reinvent it. I don't want to stay on the left side of that column. I want to be on the right side of that column, right? How many people agree with that? Amen. So that's the move we want to make. Why is it, let's go on to number 2 in the outline. Why is it difficult for us then? You know, if we all understand reinvention, we understand how profound it can be in terms of our lives and creating differences in our lives and creating the results that we want, why is it difficult? Why do we stay stuck? Why are some of us on the phone call today and we look back to December of 2011, and we say to ourselves, I'm no better than I was back then. I haven't created one difference since December of 2011. Why is that? It's an intriguing question. And we can make up a lot of stuff around that. But it's a big why. I mean, it's a big important why to be answered by us. Why is it we are where we are? What goals had you set for 2012 and you didn't reach? So why is it we are where we are? What is there our life? What have we done to reinvent ourselves in 2012? What slight edge differences have we adopted in our lives on a daily basis that cause us from being the scrapper on the playground to the Michael Jordan in the basketball world? What is the slight edge difference? Because there is only slight edge differential. So what are we doing differently? Those are the kind of questions you ask. Or, you know, because you look at, I don't want to recreate 2012. Some of us might, you know, and I had a big GPV growth this year, largest I've had in 5 years. But you know what? I don't want to recreate 2012. I want to have a better 2013. So it's not whether we've had good or bad or achieved or not achieved. The idea is that for those who didn't achieve, obviously it's more important to put a little more emphasis on it. For those who did, it's, again, important to put emphasis on newness and what am I going to create for 2013. So look at that in your life and say, why is it that it's difficult? Was it difficult for me this year to make a shift? And I gave you some of the reasons that came out of Jerry's article. He talked about certainty. People like certainty. And this is the famous concept of staying in that box, staying in that comfort zone, which I don't call a comfort zone, I call it the known zone. If you stay where you are, doing the same things over and over again, at least you are comfortable, you are in the known zone. You're comfortable because you don't have to feel like you're stretching yourself, you're not pushing yourself, you don't have any fears, you're not going to rock somebody's boat, you're going to just, and guess what, can you choose to stay there? Yeah. I mean, it's a choice we make. I call it a default choice, though. I think it's a default choice in our society. I think people don't stand up and say, I choose to stay here. They make the choice by default. In other words, by inaction, the decision is made, not by action. So how does action have to look different for you in 2013 for you to make that choice, right? And getting out of that known zone, that certainty zone, that inevitability. And most people, you know, if they call it, like I said earlier, they call it comfort zone, but there's nothing comfortable about most of those zones. Most of them are pretty miserable. Or they're not anywhere near. You know, you can look back and say, when I was 12 or 15 or 18 or 20, I can remember when I had a goal to be XYZ, and here I am now at 58, and I'm not even close. Well, why? Have you been reinventing yourself? Have you been doing something differently? Have you been taking in the greatness of the works of art that we have all around us? I mean, every time I pick up another book and read it, I think, oh my gosh, this has got such nuggets in it. I mean, people have been writing terrific books for years. Today I find a lot of stuff that, and maybe it's just because of my growth, but I find a lot of stuff that's kind of, it's kind of just there. It doesn't really offer a lot. It's just, especially in the network marketing field, I think everybody who has an experience in network marketing needs to write a book today. So we just have a ton of that out there. And so be careful. But if you go back and read some of the old stuff that really was made during a time when it was just, you know, they're trying to attract more people into network marketing in the 50s, 60s, 70s or whatever. I mean, like one of my books is How to Be the Best You Can Be in MLM by John Kalinch. Now, that's a famous book. That's a great little model. But we don't see those kind of books today. Everybody wants to talk. Even our buddy, what is his name? The guy who wrote Your First Year in Network, Rene something. Oh, I can't remember his name. Look at my senior moments coming in. Anyway, his book, Your First Year in Network Marketing, that book itself, to me, was more anecdotal. It was just kind of like, I mean, it was kind of a fun read, but I didn't learn a thing. And I read books because I want to grow and learn, and so that's important for us to do. So get out of our comfort zone or known zone, because it's really not comfortable at all, and move forward. But that's what causes people to stay stuck. Addicted to predictable. Oh, isn't that something? People really, truly are addicted to predictable. They want to live a predictable life. They don't want anything to go off course. They want everything to follow along. And it doesn't matter how miserable they are, but it's predictable. Right? Number three, learning has not become a way of being for them. In fact, learning is simply not a way of being for many, not just for them, for many people. Okay? So what is it about learning? Some of us think we go through high school and college and we're done. And I remember even getting out in law school, and I had to have continuing legal education every year. And every week, they dumped these documents on my desk, because what did we have to do? We got these sheets that had all the new laws coming in effect, all the new with regard to tax or whatever area we were interested in, and we would need to read those on a weekly basis. Well, that was another hour to 2 hours of my time every week, and time is invaluable, especially when you have billable hours. But I just thought, oh my gosh, I'm never going to stop learning. And it was frustrating to me until I got it, and then it became a beautiful thing to me that all of a sudden life truly is about always learning, growing, being better, right? So, but that's not a mainstay. And today it's worse than ever. Not that people, nooks and these kind of things are getting more popular for reading, but the majority of reading people do aren't really books that are helping them move forward. People like to read some of those, definitely just regular novels that perhaps more like trash novels or something. I see so many people when I'm on the airplanes or at the airports, and they're carrying these books around. Maybe that's just their getaway book they use on trips. I don't know, but I find it crazy when there's so much greatness out there in books to be read that can just really drive your life forward. I mean, you could read 7 Habits of Highly Effective People and just read that, focus on that book for a year, read it over and over and over again. Or how about what Jet did when he wrote, Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill's book, over and over, 18 times he read that book. And he did that when he was like 14, 15, 16 years old. And he became an unbelievable millionaire by 18, multimillionaire by 25, and today I think he's still living in Thailand, and he's making multimillion still. So what a character. But all of this can happen if you read. You dedicate to read and learn and grow. And so, but it's not just about books. It's also about tapes. How many of you listen to tapes every day? Put them in your car. That quiet time is so important. When I go in cars with Lydia, we play Steve Jobs interview, or we play. I mean, there's always something that's scintillating, because I don't want to just drive in a car and listen to crazy music on the radio or sports all the time, because that can get old, especially when my Green Bay Packers lose. That gets very old. Okay, yay for you, New York Giants. Anyway, just thought I'd interject that tidbit of news. But the idea is that we just keep reinventing ourselves, keep getting tapes, going to training courses. How many of you sign up to go to leadership training courses on an annual basis? You should always make a commitment. Every year you should be going to at least one major training seminar, just to keep in the flow, keep in the knowledge of what's happening, of what's going on out there, what is the new thinking. I've read some great materials out there about some of the new motivational thinking, because the stick and the carrot are no longer deemed to be the two most important motivators in people's lives. And so it's interesting to know that and understand what's shifting in our environment around that. So constantly be reading, going to seminars, webinars, attending training courses, listening to tapes. This is for you, because in order for you to reinvent yourself, it's going to require something new. Everything you know today will not help you reinvent yourself. What you know later today and tomorrow is what will help reinvent you. So it's about us reaching out and grabbing onto something new. Now, let me just highlight this one thing, because I work with a lot of people in this. A lot of times I go and I'll look in their library and I'll say, they'll think, oh, I have to go buy a new book. And I'll say, what's already in your library? And let's talk about those. And I can find many books in many people's libraries that haven't been opened, or they've been read but not understood. Does that make sense? So that's why I use the piece that I attached to the outline. Well, I think Lydia failed to attach it, but you sent it later, so all of you have it. It's my book review type document that I give to people who have a hard time growing from reading. They love to read, and I go, okay, so when somebody calls me up and they go, oh, Mary Jo, I read this incredible book. And I'll go, oh, really? What's the name of it? And they'll tell me a name, and I might be familiar or not. And I go, really? It was that incredible? Oh, you can't believe it. The concepts were just unbelievable. It was really cool. And I said, okay, how did it change your life? And they stop. See, to me, it's not reading a good book. It's how did it change my life? If a book is that good, how did it change your life? Because there are some aha moments throughout the book that cause you to feel it exhilarating. How did it change your life? That's the question to ask. And if it's not, then you're refusing to be reinvented. You're just stubborn and you want to stay stuck. And staying stuck is it an option? It's an option for anyone. You can choose it. But I think people default in it. They don't choose it, they default in it. And you know what? Our year 2013 is not a year of default. We're not going to default into it. We're going to change because we choose to. We're going to reinvent ourselves in a new way. So we're going to learn something new. We want to go. So the goal is to reinvent yourself. Will you deliberately engage in the process of reinvention? You've got to say, I'm willing and ready. And most of the time, readiness comes from just reality check of where you are today and where you want to be. And that's the most important thing about, like, that book, Life is Art, right? It was a book about, you know, really being very clear on where you are today and where you want to be. For some of you, that might mean, look at my retirement funds today and where do I need to be, you know, in XYZ. My husband got a statement from his retirement funds, and I've been helping him. When I married him, he had nothing. So I've been helping him through the years to at least capture the contribution the company was willing to make. They were making a matching contribution up to 4%. So I said, well, you should always put 4% of your salary in, and let's max out, you know, because you're over 55. Said, well, once he reached over 50. So he's built a nice nest egg for himself now in his retirement account over the years of our marriage. And he looks at me and he says, what do you think I should do next? And I said, honey, here's the numbers. And I worked out the numbers at 4%, how much that would equate to on a monthly basis of income. And it wasn't, as big as the number was, it really came out pretty small. It was less than $2,000 a month that he would live on if he lived till, I can't remember what age we used as a, like 76 or something like that. And he just looked at me with this kind of disgust, like, are you kidding? No, it wasn't 76, maybe it was 80, I think it was. But it was kind of like, you know, he thought that, well, if I retire and I just take money out of here, I can replace my income I had at my job. And I said, oh, you could do that, but that would last you about 6 or 8 years, and then you'd be looking for another job. And that was very discouraging to him. So it's like, so good. So what do you want to do differently? But of course, he knows that I have other assets in real estate and everything else that are. He goes, well, I'm not just relying on my income. You know, it's kind of cute. But the idea is we need to go out there and look and what do we want to live off of for those of us in the age group, and then what do we need to create to get there? So yes, we need a plan. And what I did at the end of the outline today. Now that was the end of really the article that was done by Jerry Clark. And, of course, I embellished a lot on it because it was a rather short article, but I embellished a lot about us and what we're doing in Emanatech. But the intriguing thing is, what are we really going to do? You need to have a plan. If you want to reinvent yourself, that's the first decision you need to make. And coming out of this call, I suggest you make that decision. Is 2013 going to be a year of reinvention for me, or am I going to stay stuck, or am I going to stay where I am? So make that decision first, then start working on a plan. What might that look like? And I just put a few, you know, I put a basic plan together. I said one of my favorite books these days is the book The Slight Edge. I think The Slight Edge is just an awesome book. It's a great place to start. I did a book review on it about 3-4 months ago. I'm doing a whole program on it right now with a group of you who are on my Monday night calls and doing the homework around that. And that's awesome. And tonight we actually have Leo Widener on the telephone. He's going to be on our conference call with that training group that I have tonight. So that's pretty cool. The author himself is going to spend an hour of time with us answering questions and reviewing one of the life balance tools. And yeah, so it's a great book. And I will read it again and again and again. I will probably read it 2 or 3 times just in the month of December, because I want to get all of this so ingrained in me that I really, really have it fine-tuned. So Slight Edge is great. Out of the Slight Edge, there are a bunch of life balance tools. And life balance tools are a way to keep you focused online so you can grow this phenomenal Manatech business, but at the core of your support is family. And that's the core. That's the rock behind you. So how do I make sure I'm right with my family? That's a big part of this book as well, which is super. I'm sure that if you were doing something at your job, maybe they wouldn't be so reflective about how great your family life is, but for network marketing, for any, I'm going to say for any job out there, how critically important it is for us to be grounded in our family and our emotional, our spiritual walk before we stretch out and try to make something great out of our financial arena. So utilize life balance tools will help you do all that. Attend a leadership principles seminar at least every 6 months, and I would suggest that you start looking for those in your area. I'm actually doing one with Patrick Dean the first weekend in February here in Dallas-Fort Worth, and I'll get information on that to everybody if you're interested in coming. It's going to be great. A Hero's Journey, Principles of Leadership. So I'm excited about that as well because I really love teaching and training and helping people move. And then finally, develop a reading list and commit to read at least 2 books per month using the attached form, which is the form Lydia sent, as you read through each. So it's a form to just help you as you go through chapter by chapter. Take down notes. Why is it? Where were my aha moments? What did I learn from this? And how does it apply to my life? How is it going to change my life? See, that's the important thing. It's not just about having the aha moments, because I coach people all the time where they go, oh, Mary Jo, I had this incredible aha moment, da 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 da, and I'll go, I think you told me about that about 3 years ago, the same aha. Oh, yeah, you're right, back then this. And I just go, you know, these aha moments need to shift your life. They need to change your life, but you have to adapt them. You need to adapt your life and change and be willing to be different. And that's what's so important. Reinvention is about being different. It's about moving forward, doing something different. So develop a reading list. I suggest you read at least 2 books a month. And that's just if some of you haven't read in ages, you might want to try one every 3 months just to get yourself back in the habit. But once you get going and blowing on them and getting this information from them, you're going to get hungrier and hungrier until you read all the time. And it's just wonderful to be able to utilize other people's well-thought-out principles in depth to help shift us in a way to make our life the best. So that's our goal. So that's it, people, for reinvention. A great concept to kick off with in that that's what we're going to be talking about for the next 3 weeks. We're going to be talking about, yes, goals, setting goals will be a part of it, but we're going to recapture Tony Geary. If that's good with you, it's great with me. I'd love to recapture all that great material I had. We're going to recapture him and do some exercises around reinvention so that we can really help ourselves move forward. And of course, reinvention can start today. And for some of you, it's happening every day of your life because you're choosing into always coming from possibility instead of probability. And make sure that we look at finishing off the next business period, which is we still have business period 13, in an awesome way. We want to like hit record levels of growth and look at ourselves and add more registrations than we've ever had. And let's just fight for some goals. See if you can start today. Today's like really the first business day of the business period 13. And write down what are your goals for business period 13. And let's go make those happen, right? And in the same time, we're going to be reinventing ourselves so that by the time we get out of here, at the end of this year, we're going to be more than ready to have the best year of our life. Okay? All right, everybody, that's it. Reinvention, and then we'll jump into, if that's good with you guys, strategic acceleration and goal setting and get fixed and ready for 2013. All right, everyone, any questions, any issues with anyone? And hopefully you all got the outline with the update from Lydia. Everybody get that? Okay. All right. I love you all. Happy Thanksgiving one more time, and let's get prepared for a great upcoming few weeks on goal setting, getting prepared, and doing some introspection, and so we really truly can be in a posture where reinvention becomes part of where we want to be in 2013, right? Okay, everybody. Love you all. Have a great week, and get out there and share the Manatech story with people. We have so much to share, so much greatness to offer to people, and so many people are so in need to hear from you. All right, everybody. Bye-bye.